What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome back to the hottest, freshest, newest edition of 26 Degrees. Here with you guys, as usual, it's your boy Larian, joined by the illustrious team of 26 Degrees, the founding fathers of this particular thing we got going on. Joined with me, as usual, is my boy Meezy. Meezy, say what up to the people.
Man, what's good, folks, man? 26 Degrees. Another episode every week, man. Coming, bringing that fire as always, man. You know how we gonna do with this thing, man. What's up with your ex? The field general, the real field general, man.
Nah, man, just chilling, man. You know, another week, man. Another opportunity. Join the opportunity, man. I see Larian over there drinking. I wanted, man. I've been drinking all week, man. I like, let me give it a.
Give it a break.
I need it too, man.
Man, if I have a cut right now, I fall asleep on this show. I'm so tired. I ain't even gonna do it.
I'm in it deep a little bit, but I'm honestly for some reason not all that tired. I'm a sleepy drunk for sure, but for some reason I'm
sipping on there, y'all.
Some bullshit scotch, man. The liquor store near me. They got one of my favorite bourbons. It's called Eagle Rare, and it's a 10-year-old bourbon. It's very, very smooth, very flavorful. But these fuckers run this scam where you got to buy to get it for $45, which is what it should cost. You got to buy some other bullshit. So, yeah, it's like, buy this, and you get it for $45. And it's like, man, that shit costs $45. I had it elsewhere. Yeah. But I'm like, all right, fuck it, man. So I said, what's the other one? And it was a scotch called Imperial. Now, it ain't the worst shit on the planet, but I'm not a big scotch drinker anyways. And I was like, all right, man, give me that shit, dog. So I mixed it up with some ginger ale, actually some ginger beer, you know, which got that stronger taste to it. Because, be honest with y'all, I kind of ran through my bottles and didn't realize until I got home. I was like, oh, shame, you got nothing early here to drink, so... Hey, but it's bullshit, so man, I take this rubbing alcohol.
I had last week, I guess Ray Ross got a new cognac, it's called, I think it started with an A, it's in a black bottle, and I was drinking it. It's all right, you know what I'm saying, but at the end of the day, it gets sweet, you know what I'm saying? That'd be my thing, I don't really like sweet alcohol. You know what I'm saying, but I didn't want to get up and go to the liquor store. I'm like, man, I don't feel like driving to the liquor store.
Villain.
That's it, Villain. My bad, not
Villain. Yeah. I just googled it. Yeah, Villain. It's weird. It's spelled like V-I-L-L-O-N. That's kind of cool. I like the spelling of it.
I had some. It was my first time having it at 1738. Last night, it wasn't bad.
1738, what's that?
The Remy.
Oh, Remy. Yeah.
1738, it wasn't bad.
I've had
it was smooth, Remy too.
I'm not a big yak drinker, bro. Like, I'll have it if you got it, but it ain't really my bag, per se. But yeah, if it's around, yeah, I'll go ahead and be like, yeah, go ahead and hit the yak. Like I said, I'm more of a bourbon guy, tequila guy. Those kind of my two main go-tos now.
I drink tequila sometimes, but I don't really like mixing. I just be usually putting like some brown with some ice.
Well, that's how I am with most tequilas, man. I'll be honest with you.
Just some ice?
Yeah, the good ones, the ones that I really enjoy. Just some ice, man. You find you a nice reposado. You know, that's got a sweeter flavor to it. So like if you're a brown drinker in general, there's a couple of good reposados that you probably would actually enjoy. But I'll tell you some of them off air, man. Or we'll pull up when we have tailgate, man. And I'll make sure we got some for you to try out.
I bet.
But so basically, man, hell, we coming back. Did an early show last week. Just because it was kind of a slow news week and wasn't a lot really necessarily going on. You know, obviously we're in the off season and we were like, hey, let's get one out. And if there's some more news break, we'll come back and give you guys another one. But again, kind of slow, not a ton of things happened since then. So, but what did happen, I guess we'll put first thing first. We had, Super Bowl. How you got into the Super Bowl, there, Meezy?
Man, that thing was boring to me.
Yeah.
That was a boring game. I felt like the game was boring.
I thought it was pretty good.
I felt like the game was boring. The fourth quarter was good. I don't know. I ain't going to lie. This is my first year. I only really watched. Like, I was watching it on and off. I was still salty about my Bucks not being in it this year. So, I was having a hard time getting into the whole Super Bowl spirit this year, which never happens.
Man, that's was a good.
That's crazy. Because
I ain't even sitting nothing. Like, I don't. The Super Bowl with me this year, my Bucks was out. And the way we
that's
went
crazy because you had like y'all perennial Super Bowl team.
Hey, we needed to get our ring when we could with Brady.
Y'all here. Just got back into the playoffs. My team was the best team, and we ain't winning. 49ers was the best team in the playoffs.
We were the best team.
We blew it. We should have beat the Rams again.
Well, that's that Garoppolo, man. You know, he trash.
He ain't trash.
Garoppolo's trash, man. If you can't rely on him to drive to make to put the ball in the end zone, that's trash in the NFL.
He's not trash. He's just not generational. I mean, I don't care.
He's all right, man.
I'm not a Garoppolo guy, so let me be clear. I never was that high on Garoppolo, but he ain't trash. He just
I feel like y'all would have had the same season if Trey Lance started.
I can kind of go with you there now. Now that, yeah, that is we on the same page. But I think Trey Lance is special. I think we just got to give him a chance to get out there and be special. But X, how'd you take in the Super Bowl, man?
Man, I enjoyed myself, man. You know, got in the kitchen, cooked some food.
That food was good too, X.
Man, thanks, man. You know, had some people come over. We had the big projector outside, man, with the speaker, so you know it was loud. Everybody enjoyed themselves. And then the only bad thing that I didn't enjoy was somehow I got tricked into being the bartender. And, you know, when you are the bartender.
That's a good and a bad thing.
It's a good and bad thing. It's a bad thing because now you got to really monitor how much you drink.
Yeah. You
know, I'm trying to drink, but I can't. I'm like, damn, I got to pour people drinks and I got to make sure, you know what I'm saying? But. Now, when people start settling in, I'm like, look, boy, y'all, we finna take some shots because I'm finna get me some shots in. All right, just finna sit and let everybody else get drunk, and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, whenever, like, I was like a bartender in a bar in Pensacola. Whenever I bartend, I would only take shots with customers. Or if I was bartending or bouncing, I'd only take shots with customers. And I might drink like a light beer in between. That's it. I ain't drinking no liquor in between because I'm like, bro, I'm going to get tore the fuck up if I do it that way.
I mean, but you know, like, I never bartended at a club or like a spot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do it at the tailgates because I want to make sure everybody get their drinks. And then, you know, the bad thing is I forgot to get drinking cups. So now we drinking in the big cup. So, you know, if you get a big cup, you know, people, you just let them pour. They go
big drink. Big drink, baby.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, nah.
No doubt.
Let me watch it. You know what I'm saying? And then, but everybody enjoyed themselves, man. Like I said, the game was good. I loved the halftime show. And, you know, I was vibing, man. The only thing that hurt a lot was the fact that Odell Beckham got hurt. Everybody had Odell on their ticket.
Odell on it, yeah.
Talking about that over under receiving yard like, prop bet,
yeah.
Like, he messed that play up. Then I'm like, oh, so everybody ticket blown. I'm literally watching everybody like, God damn it,
God.
they ripping up their tickets. I'm like, yeah.
I mean, he was on everybody ticket.
That's real. I just actually that day. I was traveling back from Carolina. I went to visit a friend there in Durham. So I came on back, swung by the crib, grabbed the last of the 1942 I had left from winning a little contest with the roll up, and swung by the homie house, man. And I watched three quarters, maybe three and a half quarters. I had a little too much of the drink, passed out. So I woke up to see this, like, oh, who won? I Rams. God damn it. So I was like, fuck, man. I did not want the Rams to win as a Niners fan, obviously. But from what I do remember seeing, it was a good game up until the end. And then, you know, we got on back. But, you know, hats off to the Rams. Congratulations. You went and put together a team to win the Super Bowl, and it finally worked.
I mean, they bought themselves one, so
they damn sure did, and it's cool. But that's why I'm more mad at my team, because to be honest with you, we started out the season 2-4, and I really think we should have been 4-2, and that might have been the difference in us, you know, having that home game and pulling some shit off. But yeah, well, here what it is. Game over now, season over now. So congratulations to all them boys over there. Matt Stafford did not win that Super Bowl. No hate on Matt. I think Matt's a good quarterback. Nah, man. But
Aaron Matt Donald.
Two picks. Yeah, Aaron Donald won that Super Bowl one. Yeah.
Yeah, Donald and Cup. That's a bad boy.
Yeah, Cup's nasty. Yeah, Cup is nasty. How about Valentine's Day, man? What y'all boys did?
I mean, I was chilling on Valentine's Day. I had dropped some flowers and a little gift card out, a little a little shawty of mine or whatever. But I was just cooling for real, man, Valentine's Day.
You want to shout her out on the show? Or?
No.
I'm fooling. Not just that liquor, man. Don't pay me no mind.
Y'all want to shout y'all out? Shit, asking me.
No, I ain't say I did enough for Valentine's Day. So, I shout mine out. What's up, Spider? Love you, baby.
Yeah, I ain't doing that.
See? Look at him. I'm like, nah.
I don't even know who to shout out, man. I ain't.
Yeah, ain't no wrong with it. But dropped off some flowers and candies.
Yeah, I did something for my baby girl, man. I went and got her some stuff, man. I bought her something. Then I bought my son something. Like, man, I can't not buy him nothing too. So.
No, I did.
You got twins.
Yeah, they twins, got boy and a girl.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah.
I did treat my sisters to lunch too Monday. So yeah, I did.
Now that's dope. See, that's love.
Yeah, I treated my sisters to lunch.
I
shout out Leslie and Stephanie. I shout y'all out.
I didn't even know it was Valentine's Day, dog. Oh God, until I got like a couple of texts. I got two texts. And I was like, oh shit, it's Valentine's Day. Oh, all right, cool. I ended up, like, for me, it was just Super Bowl Monday. So Super Bowl Monday, I always go to work late, usually between 8 and 8:30, something like that. I go to work early at like 5 in the morning. So, I just did my work thing. And then when I got off, I swung by my, one of my coworkers' neighborhood. They had a little cat. And she needed a home, so that's what I did. I went and picked her up, and she's sleeping on my bed right now. That Spider, that's who I shouted out just then. So that's who I spent my Valentine's Day with. First time with a cat, man. She cool. I like this shit.
I did walk in Tootsie's for an hour.
Love. That's what's up. I like it. So yeah, that was it for me, man. Nothing too major, man. When it got my little compadre, and like I said, dog, everybody like, man, you a cat person? I'm like, dog, let me tell you something. I done had baby girl, this is the third day now. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I ever do a dog again. They so low maintenance. People go, yeah, but they'll give you that dog. I don't need dog love. I just need a little love. She chill. She like to curl up under me. But other than that, she chilling. She don't want to get into too much.
Yeah,
she
they need
a lot of attention.
Yeah, self-sufficient. Cats are self-sufficient. Yeah, they don't.
Yes, sir.
Man, no
I mean, bruh, she ain't chewed on a wire. She ain't pulled on nothing, no curtain, no nothing. She just like laying
quiet like a mouse, too.
That's it. Relaxing. Yeah, that's my new little baby, man. All right, let's get into the docket a little bit, man. So talk a little Canes. Get on out of here. So essentially, I guess let's get into a little bit of the current state of the program. Staff almost filled out. You know, I get who are we waiting on now? We're basically waiting on
a defensive end and a linebacker, outside linebacker coach, which I initially thought could be the same coach because I didn't know that we was just going to have two linebacker coaches.
Okay.
But it would be two defensive line coaches and then a linebacker, outside linebacker coach. And then right. We're waiting on, I'm still trying to gather information about the Fields, Coach Fields. Is he going to stay at that position or is he going to go off field still?
Man, I got a question about that Fields thing. Why do you think they're trying to, it's always good to upgrade if you can, but what's the reason behind that?
Not for another job.
I think X can speak on it probably with a little bit more authority and a little bit more information. I think we can retain Field either way. I think he's kind of just happy to be there. I think he's a guy that's going to be productive in either role. So they want to make sure that they can't possibly upgrade because we can keep him one way or the other on field or off field. But I could be off. What you got on that, X?
Okay, so now this one thing with Fields is if somebody else wants him, they will basically overpay what UM is already paying him, because even if he stays as tight end coach or if he goes off field, he's going to be making a certain amount. Mm. So a team will have to overly pay. But Fields loves it down here. Him and Mario are actually – real cool, like, you know what I'm saying? They boys.
For those that don't know, he came from Oregon. Manny hired him from Oregon.
He was down here when Mario was at FIU. It was like that's why if you start to see the connection that Mario was doing.
Right. He has good South Florida roots.
Because Fields was director of recruiting that year, I think Oregon brought in their best class in school history, and Fields was director of recruiting, I believe.
Right. Yeah. Yes, sir. So
yeah, so we just waiting on some more information from that, because I did get two different calls about it. One was he was going to stay, and then the other one was they just going to move him off field, but. Right now, you just gotta wait to see, man. Because Mario does what Mario do, man.
Right.
I think that's it.
We're
gonna hire probably like I don't even know how many some off field coaches.
We did lose
Coach Shipper, like.
I don't think that's really a hit.
Let me explain what happened with that. The whole situation was. Coach Mario allowed Coach Gaddis to bring over somebody he's more familiar with. You know what I'm saying? So you can have two wide receiver quality control coaches, but what's the sense when this guy works with him and he knows exactly what he wants? You know what I'm saying? So it's another opportunity for Coach Hipper, like the homie. He went, hey, no problem. I'm gonna just go on here to Florida because Florida wants me. You know what I'm saying? That coach don't come, Hippolyte Steele is still here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And for the Kane fans, do not act like it's something like y'all don't care about. Because guess what? He was very detrimental to getting the Three Amigos. He was there.
Instrumental.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like
us getting Roland Smith, though, kind of counter
right.
that.
It'll counter yeah, it, yeah, right. No, no, I agree. I think.
But I'm just saying, you know, hey. Don't act like it's nothing.
No, right. No. Yeah, I mean, no. Hippolyte is a good get. You know, for Florida, hopefully he can convince these young men to, you know, bring it on down there. Or
I don't think Florida had anybody with South Florida ties.
They don't have a lot of them. No. Right.
Nah, because I think Coach Hova is gone. I think Hova was the last one with them.
Right. So yeah, that's Bell another staff move.
Off the field staffer, wide receiver coach too, from Rhode Island. Donovan Varner. I don't know if you guys remember
that
name.
Talking about. That's who Coach Gattis brought with him.
No, but see, there's another dude from Michigan Gattis brought down. There's another wide receiver coach off the field staffer that Gattis brought down from Michigan, though. That's who I thought you was talking about.
Oh, no, not that guy. I know who you're talking about, but not him. I mean, yeah, he's not. No, I'm not talking about
him. It was Varner. Okay. Varner. I didn't know that. I didn't know they had a relationship. Okay.
I don't know if you guys remember him at Duke, though. He was.
Really I remember. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, no, they got a relationship. They got a relationship. So that's.
Okay. I didn't know yet him and Gattis had a relationship. So that's news to me. Essentially, still waiting to fill out a few positions. But the bulk of the staff is put together, you know, like X mentioned earlier. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, just like, you know, Georgia, Bama, Florida's definitely making big pushes in that direction. We will likewise have a lot of extra positions that we haven't had before, and that's strength and conditioning, nutrition, some analysts that we definitely haven't had before. We definitely didn't have much of an analyst budget, so that's going to be expand. So you're going to keep hearing names pop up that, you know, you may or may not be familiar with. The positions won't be on-field positions, but, yeah, look for us to hire a lot more, especially in strength and conditioning, nutrition, and, we're going to be adding more analysts as well. Like Varner, there will be more analysts involved. So, and that's just, you know, the top programs are doing that. That's what's keeping them competitive is they have so many extra resources for guys to focus in on things that allows the on-field coaches the opportunity to go out and do other things.
So you look at them big schools who got all them coaches on that team, and then you say, well, dang, you know, a lot of the players don't usually get in trouble and stuff like that. That's what them coaches are there for, monitoring them players. You know what I'm saying? You got a coaching staff that you only got 10 coaches, and then you got maybe 5 off-field coaches. You got 85 scholarship kids. You know what I'm saying? Got to monitor all them guys.
Right.
Especially in Miami, you know, so.
Yeah, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I was listening to somebody, and they compared Miami's staff to Clemson before this year, and Clemson had a coach for every 4 players, and Miami had, like, a coach for every, like, 11 or 12 players, something like that. Yeah.
Right. And that's the difference. That's what we're going to see. Miami fans, I know we've asked a lot of y'all to be patient, and you've been patient, but continue to be patient. Don't expect an overnight turnaround, but what you can expect is the investments that they're making now to pay off in the near future. Just don't expect it necessarily in a year. It's going to take some time to build relationships. And
Everybody got mad because I guess I'm not even going to call her name, but she did mention one of the media outlets did mention that the practices will be closed. You know what I'm saying? So everybody trying to figure out, oh, media, at least the media, but the media, we didn't officially get the memo that it's closed just yet, but that's the word. So there's some digging in on that. Mario wanted to get rid of all that was going on down there. Like, it was a lot that's he got to get out of them players' system. It's better to not have any type of, you know what I'm
right
saying?
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah,
at the end of the day, just say, man, you know, one thing about media in South Florida, man, it's bad or good. They go and report it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not us. We don't, you know what I'm saying? Us on our side, we don't report no bad stuff. But mostly if it's bad, they going to put it out there. And guess what? Now it's for everybody to see and keep laughing. You know what I'm saying? But Mario, like, nope, we should get this fixed before we start allowing certain things. So,
yeah. And a quick, I guess, sidebar, kind of in the same vein of what you're talking about. I didn't hear it, and if we don't have anything to say on it, then we could just skim through it. But I did see that essentially Nesta Silveira, they said that, and it was, I think it was on the King and Ragon.
That was crazy, man.
I didn't listen to it. I didn't get a chance today. I was just a little too tied up today to get into it. But I heard that.
I know some stories personally about it. I don't know if I want to air them out there like that. But
well, I'll tell you what I did see briefly before you speak on it. That way you don't, you know, say anything. You don't know, what I understood was Nesta was being a policeman on the team. He was you know, doing what he's supposed to do as an upperclassman, as a guy that has a lot of fire and competitive edge. He was, you know, putting boots to asses, like, hey man, that shit ain't cool. We losing. You ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. And y'all are celebrating. And he was kind of scolded by the coaching staff. It's kind of the general gist of what I understood without getting, let me preface it with I didn't listen to it, but that was my understanding.
It's basically all over the time. I seen it.
Yeah, like they painted him to be a bad guy on a team or something like that.
Yeah, like he negative. And I know what that's like, bro. That's how I've been painted with that same brush, man. Like, oh, you negative. Now, I'm not negative, dog. I'm saying I'm not sugarcoating shit. Yeah. When it's bad, it's bad. I'm not calling a problem an opportunity. No, it's not a fucking opportunity. It's a problem, and we need to tighten the fuck up. But, you know, you don't want to use that language. No, I do want to use that language. So I definitely, you know, empathize with a person like Nesta, because I think Nesta had the heart of a Kane. And we, you know, we Kane's fans, we have a lot of nostalgia. Those are the kind of guys you need more Nesta's attitude-wise to help build that program to be what you remember it to be. You need guys that are holding other guys accountable. The players' accountability, I believe, is more important than coach accountability, because the players don't have the restrictions the coaches got.
Yeah, I piggyback on what you said, Larry. I'm the same way. Like, people say I'm negative. I mean, it's something like you said, something's bad is bad. Like, I'm not going to, like,
talk about it.
You know what I'm saying? Trying to paint over something that's bad. Like, you got to fix the issue. You know what I mean? And then I also heard about, too, I didn't get to listen to it, but I saw some cliff notes. We had spirit awards on Sundays after the games. Like, even if we lost, we had spirit awards. That sounds
weird. That I don't even know what
egregious.
That means.
A spirit award. Like, that's like a participation trophy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and they wouldn't give it to Nesta because he didn't have the right spirit. No, you had the exactly right spirit.
Right. Like, he said the North Carolina game, the coaches tried to pull all like the vets off the field and play the young boys because they felt like the vets didn't want to win.
The game was over.
Right.
Yeah.
And Nesta didn't want to come off the field, which is what you want. And a veteran. Right. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I knew certain stuff would come out like the longer Diaz was gone, but that all that
it's a lot that was going on with that, man. And like I say, I could add a whole lot, man. But I just, you know,
when I saw that, I was like, oh, it's a lot more. That's just something that came out. It got to be a lot more.
It is what it is, man. The our previous staffs with Rick and Diaz was just it wasn't what you gonna need it, you know what I'm saying? Because what Mario is doing is Mario saying you're putting on that you, so guess what? You gotta represent you. Not just be happy to be here, you know what I'm saying? That's what a lot of the players are. They just happy to be here, but they not representing that you. So now Mario's saying, all right, you ain't gonna represent the you, guess what? You're gonna get up out of here.
Yeah, Mario said that as soon as he touched down, all that, no more like talking. No more this and that, taking a turnover chain away. Like, we got to get to work. You know what I'm saying? Mario said that plenty of times, man. We just got to get to work, do what we got to do. And I fully believe he's going to do that. I mean, like X said, they shut down the media project, media sessions for spring. Like, I mean, Mario's like, we're going to get after it. You know what
so,
I mean?
real quick, while we're talking about the staff in general, who do y'all think so far has been the best hire?
I mean, I think I want to say Kevin Steele.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, the defense is a defense. The defense has to be, like, you know, the enforcers, and Kevin Steele is an enforcer. You know what I mean? Don't play the radio. It's gonna be hard on those boys. And I like how he came preaching about tackling. Like, we got to tackle. Like, that was a big issue for us last few years. So I really love the Kevin Steele hire. I heard some people say he's too old. We got him from Maryland. He wasn't one yet. I don't necessarily think all that's the case, but I don't need Kevin Steele here at Miami for 5 years. I just need him to turn defense around, get the right mindset, instill in those players, like, physical toughness, you know what I'm saying, have heart and everything like that. Like, beat the man in front of you. That's what Kevin Steele is, man. It's no coincidence his last name is Steele. But that I really, really like that hire. I think that was the best hire so far. I like the Gats hire too, but I think I say Kevin Steele.
Who you got, X?
Yeah, I was going to say Kevin Steele. The reason being is because of all of the knowledge he got from, you know, he's been coaching since the 80s, the late 80s, you know what I'm saying? So he has a lot of knowledge with defenses. And he's going to use our strength, which is our safeties, a lot.
Yeah,
you're definitely going to see three safeties on the field a lot this season.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I think that's the best hire. And then he's a linebacker guy too. You know what I'm saying?
Which our weakest position.
That's probably been one of the worst recruited positions and worst developed positions at UM over this year since, I guess, well, once Mike and Shaq
left. Ever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So.
And only, like Perryman's the only one that I can think of that truly upholds that tradition as far as next level. You know, like, you know, Perryman's been a damn good NFL linebacker.
He led the league in tackles, I think, this year.
He did. And he missed some games.
Yeah. And there's no defense Steele hasn't seen, too. So.
Right. Yep.
What about you, Larry?
It's funny, that was my guy too. It's funny because a lot of the rivals, oh, he old. I was like, nah, I like this dude, bro. He's been around greatness. He's been around, you know, championship football, you know, from Auburn, LSU, Clemson, I believe, as well. Like, he's been around winning football and been integral in it.
NFL.
Right, exactly. So you're talking about a guy with a tremendous pedigree. He, you know, even when I heard him in his press conference, I was like, you know, he made a joke himself about his age, but he didn't come off like an old fogey type. You know, he knew he's older, but he's like, nah, yeah, I'm old, but, you know, trust me, I ain't washed up yet. If I, you know, I wouldn't be here if I was.
That's what I got from that, too.
But since y'all both said that, I'll go a die. My Georgia plugs, you know, you got to remember I'm from Georgia. I had heard Smoke About a Die way before it happened. And a lot of it had to do with his relationship with Kirby. They seen the butt heads quite a bit. But my people at Georgia was like, dude, that's a good coach. Like, we're going to be losing a good coach, a good recruiter, a good developer. So since y'all both took Steel, I'll take a die just to mix it up a little bit. He's an up-and-comer. I don't expect us to have him very long. I think he's a 2 to 3 year guy. But I think he's going to help improve that room in general. As far as sound technique and recruiting wise. So, you know, we lost T-Rob. Best of luck to him. And but I think we got a young guy, because you got to remember that the one thing about the world is it keeps on spinning, you know, so it is not stopping for anyone. So as much as I've sung the praises of, hey, I really want to retain DVD, I think DVD is the next up and coming young guy. Adai is definitely in that position. He's coming from a championship team. So we have that pedigree. We have South Florida ties. He's a guy that had one of the best pass defenses when he was at West Virginia in a league that, you know, is known for airing it out. So, yeah, I'll go with a dime, man.
I think they had the best pass defense in the nation that year, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so. And again, yeah, I remember who they're playing against. You're talking about teams that air it out. So I guess we'll shift gears just a little bit. Most questionable hire. I don't have a big problem with anyone on staff per se that was hired. If I did, I would probably go Salavea, just because I don't think he's got like a really great recruiting track record. Not that it's terrible, but it's not like sparkling. It doesn't shine a lot. And again, I don't really have a lot of issue with anything. But if you kind of forcing my hand, that would probably be my most questionable hire as of right now.
I would kind of agree, but then I won't, because Todd Stroud is still there. Todd Stroud is the one who landed them boys. He landed them boys. So that's why I wouldn't question that one. But I agree, because I'm like, I haven't heard the fact that he is that dual in the recruiting. You know what I'm saying? But they say he can pull in people. We'll see. You know what I'm saying? We'll give him his full year to see what he can do. But then again, like I say, I know Coach Stroud is there to help. Coach Powell, you know what I'm saying?
Real quick, one reason I do like him is because he's Polynesian. So I like that he'll be able to get in some living rooms. And, you know, people that know that in general, you know, Polynesian culture tends to be a tight-knit culture, very family-oriented. You know, when you look at, you know, Tua, the whole family moved to Bama. You know, I think the whole family's in Miami now. So, you know, I think what he does give us is some more access to living rooms where they will look at him like, oh, that's Unk. Unk gonna take care of him. He's gonna be fine. So, like, again, I had to think of someone, so that's who I picked. But I really don't have a problem with
him. And then he can help us with offensive linemen too. You know what I'm saying? Because if we
got
offensive line, then he can help. That's easy. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's gonna be Unk. It's a familiar face. Yeah. It's a familiar face.
The only one that I was questionable with was Frank Parts. I'm not that big of a fan of Parts like that. Not saying that it's bad, it's just me. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else could say they like him. I'm just saying me personally. From personal experience, you know what I'm saying? But I just felt like we could have went into a better direction. Not saying that it's bad, but I just, you know, that's just me.
That's fair, man.
It's good the fact that he was offensive coordinator, so he does know offense. You know what I'm saying? He knows quarterback play. So now Gaddis has somebody that can help him a lot.
Yeah, I was gonna say mine was between Salavea or Ponce. I'll probably go to Ponce route too. I got excited with all the hires, but Ponce hire, I was like, I mean, I like it. Like X said, he was an offensive coordinator, so it's not like he's coming to Miami to call plays. West Virginia, not West Virginia, Appalachian State Absolutely. Quarterback. What's his name?
Chase Bryce.
When he was at Duke, he was at Clemson originally. Then went to Duke. I think he led the nation in turnovers. And so he went to App State. I know the competition level is different. I mean, App State's probably better than Duke, but the opponents they was playing, competition level's harder. But he didn't look too bad at Appalachian State. He looked a lot more serviceable than he did at Duke. You know what I mean? He doesn't have a big track record of quarterbacks like going to the league and stuff. He did pretty good at Louisville as well. I think he worked with Malik Cunningham. Mm-hmm. For a year or two, I believe. But not to say I don't like the hire, but I guess to answer your question, if I have to pick someone, it was between Salivet and Ponce. I'm just going to go Ponce. But, I mean, I'm giving him his – I mean, obviously, I got to ride with him. He's on the staff, but
– No, you ain't got to ride with nobody.
Miami – yeah, he got Miami ties, too, which is good. I want to see the quarterbacks we recruit. I really want to see that, the quarterbacks he brings in. Like, I don't want to see any, like, mid, you know, borderline, oh, he might be able to develop. I don't want to see that. You know what I mean? I need to see somebody who, like, all right, this man can come in, you know what I'm saying, 2 years, take some starting snaps. So, yeah, mine's Frank Ponce, but we'll see.
I'll tell you why I didn't have much problem with Ponce is – I think App State was the number 17 overall offense.
Right. He had some good offenses.
And he called it. You know, you call it competition, but at the same time, 17 in the nation and 17 in the nation with, you know, not premier players. So what I think you're going to get is a lot of times what you get with some of these G5 guys or guys that get the absolute most out of talent that they have available. So you give them better talent, there's a good chance for them to elevate that talent to the next level. So
a good thing about Ponce too, him and Gaddis are kind of similar how the offenses are ran. I think they both would like to be balanced. I know Gaddis played more to his strength of running the ball because I think he had some mid quarterbacks at Michigan, but Ponce and Gaddis are similar, I think, had the same kind of vision. Ponce was real balanced. I think they had like 2 900-yard rushers, I believe, last year, something like that.
Yeah, one was 9, one had like 11 or 1,200. So
yeah. So when your quarterback coach and your OC has the same vision, man, that's a plus as well. So, and I'm pretty sure he'll probably help with some game installing game plans and everything like that. So another voice. I mean, like I said, good offensive coordinator. Can't hurt to have him as quarterback coach, man. So
right.
Can't hurt at all. I mean, that can't hurt at all.
You know, and that's the thing, like if you look at and this is what I've been loving about the whole thing since we've hired Mario is, oh, it's a mess. Oh, it's taking so long. Oh, nobody want to work for Mario. And all of these myths have been dispelled every time. So, you know, you look at our perception, it keeps changing. Because remember, nobody would want this job. Mario wasn't taking this job. And I'll raise my hand and say I was definitely one of the people that said he wouldn't. I said it. I said, nah, that's not happening. Not that I'll tell you this. Let me run it back a little bit. Not that I thought he wouldn't. I didn't think we would offer him anything that would make him take the job. So before I knew we were going to spend money, I was like, listen, I know Miami. Miami ain't spending no money, so let's throw Mario out the window. Then they go, oh, we're going to spend money. I go, wait a minute now. If we're going to spend money, of course Mario's on the table because he's alumni. He's, you know, from the area. He's a champion. He's going to want to see things turned around. So then it made sense to me. Previous to that, I was like, nah, it's just not going to happen. But the perception, I think, nationally is that, hey, y'all keep y'all eye on Miami. They're finally spending money. They're finally catching up to the modern era. You know, we went spread offense with Red Lashley, you know, for the second year in a row. Took us forever. Now we're spending money. I think the national media has said, well, look, if Miami's going to spend money, then you got to pay them boys attention. It ain't the same no more. Any thoughts on that?
I think the national media sees what's going on, and because they have they're not really, I don't want to say necessarily biased, like, so they think more openly than fans of other schools, and they're pretty much praising the hires. Like, they get Gaddis, Burroughs Award winner, great recruiter, and they bring Kevin Steele, and then the assistant coaches Mario's bringing in. I mean, there's nothing not to like about it, you know what I'm saying? Because they know what Mario bringing as well. Like, Mario's pretty much proven to win big games and stuff, and the off-the-field hires and the strength and conditioning coaches we're bringing in. I mean, I feel like the national media sees what's going on. They even have our transfer portal class ranked at, I think, what was it, fourth in the nation? Something. You want to mute X? I think it was fourth.
Yes, number four.
Yeah, fourth. And they actually input the players who left as well, some kind of calculations they did. But I think the national media is high on Miami right now. I mean, Josh Pate, who I listen to him a lot for 247, he said he believes more in Miami than USC right now because there's no athlete like the Miami athlete. You know what I mean? And we're going to zero in on a lot more of those highly talented boys. So that's what I feel like the national media is seeing. X, what's your take on the national media? If you've been seeing some things, some reports, things like that.
I mean, national media, speaking with coaches around the nation, man, they saying, yeah, man, they finally doing what they supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? Y'all get the right guys who in position that could keep the players home. That's the terror of college football because they don't want all the kids to stay home, man. So, yeah, that's the talks, man. That's just, you know, we just got to put in work on the field, man. Make it seem worth the while. No more time to keep talking. Time to show action, you know. So, but yeah, everybody's the people who matter in media who really know something, they know, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm speaking of. Yeah. They like what's going on.
Yeah. But like I say, man, you speak to coaches around, man, they saying, yeah, boy, y'all making moves, man. When we got Mario, that was the, what are you doing? Is they for real?
Right. There's a lot of buzz with the national writers, too, because they all talk to each other. They all talk to coaches. And I think everybody's pretty much preaching the same thing about Miami. Like, oh, that's something to watch down there. Larian, what's your take on it?
I think essentially, you know, and this is why I caution a lot of Miami fans to, you know, get out of your Twitterverse. You know, you got Big Three, Twitter, and you know, it's easy to get caught up in that, man. But I assure you, people that don't have the bias of just, you know, piling on Miami and look at, what's his name? Zenitz, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember, oh, yeah, no way Mario's going, right? And I said, I don't know if that's true. Man, I had people jumping on me. Oh, so you know more than Zenitz. I say, yo, fam, I didn't say I knew more than him. I am telling you, I don't know the hearts of men, right? I don't know what everybody's thinking. I know what I would be thinking if I was Mario. Sounds like me and Mario think a lot alike. He was like, nah, I got to go save my school, bro. Like, for those who don't know, Oregon offered him more money.
Right,
they offered Mario upwards to around $10 million a year. So he made a choice based on what he wanted to do with his life and what his mission in life was. So, you know, Zenitz went back and ate his words because, you know, like I said, the money was spent, so things changed. So there's no one laughing at the Steel hire except rivals trying to get under your skin. There's no one laughing at the Gaddis hire other than rivals trying to get under your skin. So my thing is you can get your jokes off. That's cool. Joke, bro, it's cool, but it ain't. I promise you, everybody else looking around like, oh, shit.
I do understand the rivals because we've been a shit show for a while, you know what I'm saying? So they say, well, y'all gonna do what you don't do regardless who y'all hire, you know what I'm saying?
Right, but, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The rest of the nation, that's cool.
That's what you should say. Unless you Florida State, y'all broke.
Fucking trash.
Y'all boys ain't got no money, man. Like I say, they the homie that want to ride and all night ain't got no money whenever we trying to, hey, let's get a bottle, man. Let's get this. Man, ain't finna buy all that, man.
Oh, they the one sitting in the corner after the niggas for bought the bottle.
For sure.
They take the pictures. Oh, they
be. Yeah, for sure. For sure. They the ones rationalizing, spending. We having a good time tonight, dog. Ain't nobody counting money tonight, bro. But here go Florida State. Yeah, ain't nobody will pay all that money for that, man. Shoot, man. McDonald's got the same hamburger, man. Oh my God, cuz you blowing but yeah, so yeah, that's my take, man. I think the national perception is changing. I think the football world is changing and taking notice. You know, we got poached, but we got poached by Bama, we got poached by Georgia, we get poached by Toledo.
Yeah. All right.
We got posted by the biggest dogs of them all. So
a lot of those national writers was walking it back too, wearing like Zenit. And we went and posted started walking it back.
We went and posted two coaches that were just in the college football playoffs.
Exactly. Right. They had to. So yeah, that's my two cents on it, man. I tell you what, take a quick little breather right here. We'll be back with y'all in just a second.
Quick vice break. Don't go nowhere. We'll be back before you know it.
All right, so we're back. Quick little break. Had to, a little stretch in the middle, man. It's a late Thursday evening. I don't work today. I'm on that drink. I'm a sleepy drinker, so yeah, I had to get up and shake it loose a little bit. But we're gonna get it to the last little half of the docket, man. We do have our spring game announced. It's gonna be on April 16th. It will be at Drive Pink? DRVPNK? Is that how it, Drive Pink? Right?
Yeah. You talking about the Well, I just tell everybody the old Lockhart Stadium area.
It's where they play. They play soccer.
The new soccer game.
Yeah, it's just under 20,000 capacity. The rivals. Yeah, they're gonna make jokes. I said, oh no, imagine people not showing up in droves in Miami to watch a glorified scrimmage. All right, listen, dog. I wouldn't even do this shit if it wasn't for my association with the program as a podcaster at this point. I watch those on TV, dog. Like it's a scrimmage, dog. Like you don't learn that much from a scrimmage.
Yeah,
it's just a little something to do. And in Miami, there's always a little something to do. So, oh, sorry, it's not Gainesville, it's not Tallahassee. But I do like it in a smaller capacity because I think we will be able to get rid of those 19,000 seats. I think you'll see a good turnout. I think Mario's bringing some excitement to the program, so
you're going to see a good turnout. When Mark Rick came, they did it at that same field, and I don't know exactly how many seats were there, but it was packed. Like both sides
are
packed.
Yeah, I mean, listen, dog. I know it's cool because we talking college ball. I get it, but bro, it's a scrimmage, dog. Like, I think it's lame as hell for 80,000 people to come to a scrimmage. To be honest with you, like, man, somebody ain't getting married or nothing. Y'all ain't got nothing else.
Man, but, listen, I'm telling everybody now. We gonna go to the scrimmage, and after the scrimmage, you know, it's a couple places we can go.
Exactly. But speaking of, I will be hosting a tailgate for that scrimmage. So for the spring game. So check me out. As the details become a little bit more available, I'll give them to you. Haven't quite ironed out all details yet, but I will be pulling up. There will be a tailgate. As of right now, I'll be honest with you, my expectations for it to be totally free, including some food and drinks. Just pull up and vibe with us. As I get more information, I will definitely let you all know. More than likely, what it'll be is you'll have to just register on Eventbrite just so we can get a good, accurate number on food and alcohol to purchase. Food and drinks beyond alcohol as well. But that's going to be sponsored by Grahamco. So I can tell you this much, Grahamco going to have some goodies for you. And if y'all saw that video of me, you know, it ain't no bull. So Pull on up. We're gonna have some, you know, some gummies, probably some pre-rolls, things of that nature. So yeah, look forward to that. And like I said, as the information becomes more available, I will get that out to y'all. But definitely look forward to pulling up for that. Outside of that, real quick, man, any particular things, we'll kind of defer to X here as a guy, you know, field general, finger on the pulse of the program. Anything in particular we kind of early right now? It's spring, you know, position battles is, you know, we ain't really going to know that now. We're not really scrimmaging yet. But I guess my question would be, is there any guy that you kind of got on the radar as a potential transfer or guys as potential transfers after the spring ball period?
Probably looking at maybe like two offensive linemen, maybe one receiver, and some, maybe like two linebackers.
I can see that for sure.
What about one running back, like Cody Brown?
Yeah, one running back.
You think Cody might?
I mean, yeah. If
I can see Cody.
Yeah, because with Chaney coming in.
I don't think Chaney is going to participate in spring. Knighton will, but maybe he don't. You know what I'm saying?
Right, preserve his body.
Need the bodies. You need the bodies regardless. So, but eventually all – I think one running back is going to leave regardless. So, with the fact that Trevante Citizen will be here in summer, so yeah, I think one of the running backs.
That's true as well. Yeah. A guy that I'm glad you kind of mentioned it. I definitely can see it with the linebackers as well. No particular insight, but yeah, I can see a linebacker or two. I could see Austin Cave. As a potential transfer guy, definitely, I think Huff. My God, at this point, I don't know.
That's
what
a soldier
he fits
right there, boy. I'm surprised. Yeah. I'm surprised he even still. You know, what I'm saying
means that's a soldier, they boy. Yeah.
That was a king.
I ain't lying. For life, all right? And who else he said? O-line. I could see a guy like Campbell on the roll-up. Most of you all listen to this, listen to the roll-up. I mentioned that he was my offensive shit to get off the pot guy. If he doesn't step it up big time in spring, and by that I mean secure – honestly, he needs to secure the right tackle spot. If he doesn't do that – What's that? Say that again.
Not even a backup spot. I think one of the young boys.
No, I think I think he needs to secure the starting right tackle. He's been there quite a while. He's a big guy. He was a guy that Rick was really high on. Although Rick didn't do a good job at O-line in Georgia. That was probably his biggest knock. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he may not have the best eye for that. I will say that.
He just had him running them elite running back.
He did, yeah. That was the probably, honestly, that was in his whole tenure there. That was probably his only true weakness as far as recruiting went, is the O-line just wasn't up to par with a championship caliber team. So yeah, Campbell's a guy I could also definitely see being on that that transfer
Cleveland Reed still here?
Cleveland Reed? Ooh, that's a good question.
That is a good question, man.
Cleveland ain't gonna transfer at this point though. He'll just go. If Cleveland's still here, he's just getting his degree,
right?
You know, and I salute that too. Like, I know we joke and all, but I salute the kid that go.
Yeah, don't do three and then transfer to like App State, and then you only got one more year to get your Miami degree over.
Right, and then what are you gonna do? You're not going to the league. Right. Like, if the line ain't that good, and you're not, you know, you're not elevating through a mediocre line or mediocre position, then be honest with you, bro, it's you.
Yeah, you over 21 now too, so you gotta make life decisions now, man.
Yeah, it's time to start thinking about your family, man.
Right.
You know, so Yeah, so we'll see. I like that. I think those are all going to be positions, definitely without names per se of interest, that I do think we could see some movement, and for sure. Let's see. Let's actually, we're going to do what we're going to do for you guys is we're going to break down the 2022 schedule. We haven't quite decided if we're going to do it like in four game increments or conference versus non-conference, but we're going to give a, you know, bit of a detailed breakdown, starting on the next show. So look forward to that. We'll get into that a little bit. You know, this is off season, so we got, you know, we're going to stretch some of this stuff out a little bit out, without, you know, just talking y'all to death about nothing. So what we'll do, man, we'll do a little culture corner, man. We're going to kind of go back a little bit. Let's talk about the Super Bowl halftime show. Man, what a show. I've had a little more time to reflect on it a little bit longer. You know, my co-host on the roll-up had kind of sold me on it by the time we were finished talking about it. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'm with him, man. I think this is the greatest halftime show ever. The lineup was amazing. You're talking about Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige, 50 Cent. Is that it? Is that everybody?
Yeah.
I mean, what a phenomenal lineup. Great music.
You said Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, I said Snoop. Okay. Yeah, I said Snoop. Yeah, I honestly, they made me think on it from recording yesterday, and I was like, man, you know what? I don't know if there is a better lineup. I don't know if we ever had one. I don't know if we had a better show.
Not a hip hop lineup. We definitely had a hip hop lineup like that.
No. It was, and yeah, I think it was, even if you take hip hop out of it, I'm just like, what was better?
Because even a lot of non-hip hop heads were saying, nah, man, this is the best halftime performance.
No. Let's get to the facts. You got a lot of
people. Well, some of them. My fault.
A lot of people was mad because it was a.
It was too ethnic.
N-I-G-G-E-R show.
hard on the ER.
Wow.
Yeah, like, oh man, what the NFL and the lost their damn mind. They got all these. That's how you feel. It's just a show.
I mean,
you came to watch football or what?
I didn't personally see that, but I know it was there. Don't get me wrong. I know. But I'll tell you this much. You know how I know a lot of that's cap? This was some of the best ratings ever. So they talk that talk.
But they watched
it. End of the day. They still watching it. Yeah. All the people that came to me. Oh, man, I don't know. All that kneeling stuff.
I'm going to tell you the crazy part is, okay, I guess since it's Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, they felt like, why would you have somebody representing America because they are a former, you know, they got locked up and went to jail, this and that.
Yeah, gang.
My reply to a couple of them was like, well, isn't this America where you have the chance to recreate yourself?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So what you have on stage is people who recreated themselves and turned into business people. That's the American dream.
Right.
What are you so mad about? Are you mad because they're black? Like, just say that. If you say that, then I respect you saying that.
They're mad because they didn't even have that strike against them, and they still didn't accomplish it. Because I'm going to tell you this much. I'm a person that's going to hold people accountable for their shit, their bullshit, including myself. I've done some shit I'm not proud of. I've got, you know, things in my past that if you bring it to the light, I'll own it, right? And I'll speak on it and say, yeah, you know, that was wrong. That was not a good thing. I was wrong in that situation. However, I have grown from that. And when a person shows me they've evolved, they've grown, they've matured, you're supposed to applaud that. That's exactly what you want from people. So allegedly, that's what you want from people. So, you know, I'm never going to knock anybody that turned things around and got things pointed in the right direction. So,
like you look on stage, man, Dr. Dre created millionaires all on stage, who went on to have successful stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, it's the land of opportunity, land of rehabilitation, you're recreating yourself. Like, that's what we seen at the halftime. And guess what? It just so happened that they were all good musicians doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Classic music on stage. 50 Cent, Eminem, Mary J, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, you got Kendrick Lamar, Anderson .Paak on the drums. That are, like, every one of them artists are legendary in throughout hip-hop, R&B. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, and I mean, right. Dre had some domestic violence issues, absolutely. You know, but it was quite a long time ago. I mean, in all honesty, he does, you know, clean up his act. And that's all I can ask of a man is to be.
Yeah, I mean, America voted for Donald Trump, whose father is, you know, he's dealing with KKK. It don't get no worse. Right, so,
yeah, so like, hey, you know, like I said, anybody with those critiques, I don't mind you critiquing anyone. Critique me, that's fine. But just, you know, look at it with a open scope of, hey, did this person actually improve? When you look at Dre, you can go back and say, yeah, he did those things back in the day, but Dre hasn't been in any trouble for anything like that in at least 20 years.
Yeah,
I mean, it's 20 years long enough to be, redeemed? In my mind, yeah.
When Dre donated money to all them people, they don't got no complaints, man. They like, hey,
right.
Donate the money.
Exactly. So,
man, the halftime show was beautiful, man. I enjoyed it. I still go back on YouTube and watch it too. Like, I watched it every day this week so far.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it a couple days ago. What was your favorite part of it? My favorite part was the Still Dre part, because every time I hear that, I think of Denzel and Training Day.
Oof. I tell you what, that is it is possibly, okay, I'll say this. It is my favorite hip hop beat ever. I think it's top three ever, regardless.
Yeah, man, it got straight to the point.
Regardless
to
how you feel, it's just, it ain't even super.
It's just raw.
Complicated and layered, but it's just the
right
energy. Doom, 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 doom. Like, that's just, I don't know, man. It just hits. Like you say, it's Alonzo firing up Lincoln, man. Yeah. It's it was Cali. It was raw. It was crisp and
you
clean
in the office,
and precise.
Baby.
And it just, oh my God. Like, that is my favorite beat ever. And it has been for forever.
Yeah, when I heard, when they first started, I was like, I know they gotta play it. I'm like, you can't have them boys out there and not play it. Can't have Dre out there and not get on the piano and hit it.
And hell, my second favorite beat is probably Explosive. So, I mean, that's both on the same album. And it's just, it's just the
my
way
favorite,
that.
My favorite part of it was Kendrick Lamar, man.
Oh, he didn't mention him. I forgot Kendrick was on there.
My favorite part was Kendrick Lamar when he did.
We did. You just
gonna
tired.
Be all right, man. it's just something about that song that just it gives me.
It's a rush. It's a rush. Yeah, I feel you. Like,
you
when love I
you
hear
some
that,
Kendrick X.
I'm not even the biggest Kendrick fan. Like, when it comes to TDE, I'm more of a Schoolboy Q fan, but Kendrick got some anthems that are undeniable, and we gonna be all right. Like, it charges me up.
And then, like I say, his song selection when he performs, man, it's like he knows everybody's watching. So guess what? Let me perform a song that they don't even know.
Right.
I'm trying to bring together my
awareness. Music. Yeah, awareness, you know, man.
That we gonna be all right. He like, man, that song, I love it.
That is a phenomenal song. I just love the energy. I love what it says. We gonna be all right. Like, And it like that is definitely one of those songs that, you know, if you need like a gym playlist song, put that one on there, man. That definitely, it's gonna get you pumped. It's gonna make you be man, like
every,
man,
song,
every
song
be
they perform, every song they perform gonna get you pumped, man. Even when 50 and that's the crazy thing that 50 Cent probably had one of the hardest songs that they perform, right? Go yep. Shorty, it's your birthday. Oh man. There we are. Me and you was already out of school when that dropped.
Yeah, I was. Bubs, yeah.
Going to a club when that go shorty 50 Cent yeah.
Cup.
Yeah, I was like in like just, I was like, in like 6th or 7th grade when that came out. Yeah, we was at the park jamming that bit.
That was at what? Oh.
That'd be like 02.
Yeah,
I was 12, 13, something like that, 12.
Damn, I was 22. Damn, you right. Okay, shit. Yeah, I was outside. You was a young snap. You know what I mean? But yeah, beautiful show, man. We're going to get out of here. We'll do a quick Miami Minute, man. Won't get into it too much, but we wanted to mention the Hall of Fame snubs. All Hurricanes that we felt like I snubbed. I honestly, I'll say this. There's one guy that took me a little convincing on, and then I was like, okay, I'm with y'all because I didn't want to be Kane biased, and that'd be Reggie Wayne. But yeah, I thought Reggie had to nudge me a little bit in that direction. But to me, Andre Johnson and the other snub was Devin Hester. I don't think those were remotely questionable. And they did not get the nod as of right now. So, you know, we want to take a minute to acknowledge that. I don't know if you guys want to expound on that at all, you know, but if so, go ahead.
Man, the people in Canton say y'all got way too many Canes in there, man. That's all that's about. Ain't no way you got three of them boys on there and not one. And the people who even made it this year, like, it was like, I feel like, I forget.
Yeah, now it was questionable.
I was like, come on, man. Real questionable, man. Yeah, I had to look some of them boys up. I was like, wait a minute, man. Ain't no way. You know what I'm saying? Devin has to change the game.
The only thing I would say, my bad. Go ahead. Say what
you're saying. No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
I say the only thing I would say is the simple fact that everybody who got in has been on the list for quite some time. So they took them years to get in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but, still, but that's not fair to the but
like not one. Like, okay, this is not he not even hurricane related, but I felt bad that he didn't make it. Zach Thomas,
Fred Taylor.
Zach Thomas should have been made it. Like, Fred,
keep trying Zach Thomas, like for real, like he got to get in. I don't know why. That just don't make no sense. But
you think it's because sometimes I'm recognizing too, like if a great player was on a bad team. Like, they don't get the recognition. That hurts a lot because they're like, if he was Hall of Fame, like, how can he never sniff the playoffs almost type thing? You know what I mean? But Zach Thomas definitely.
No, because Hall of Fame is for one, your first.
No, I get that. I agree. But when you on a bad team, though, it's like it hurts. I think it hurts.
But Zach Thomas wasn't on bad teams. Dolphins wasn't bad. They was like.
Nah, back then, yeah. Honestly, that was him, Jason Taylor. Yeah, they were solid. They were solid. Zach Thomas is honestly, listen, Brian Urlacher's in. Come on, dog. Zach Thomas was better than Brian Urlacher. That's just true. The numbers show it. The eyeball test show it.
Everything. So
I mean, it's just the truth. And I'm not a Dolphins fan. But yeah, we didn't want to speak on that.
What's that? The first year, like, because we had 3 years in a row, we got somebody in, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's hate. I think Hester's undeniable just because when you look at special teams contributions and when it comes to the you know the yardage and the touchdown, there's just nobody I don't think in Dev's league. So
man, I remember watching like Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing the Atlanta Falcons, and every time Devin Hester was back to receive a kick or a punt, they would like turn the game off and show Hester to see what he was going to do, man. That's legendary. Like, whenever you've seen that in the NFL, you know what I mean? They do game breaks just to show a return. Don't even know if he's going to fair catch it or not, just to show the return, man. That's game changing. That's, man, you know what I'm saying? That was showtime.
Andre Johnson hurt me because I'm like, well, damn, like the man didn't have a quarterback at all. I don't think he had 1 year with a quarterback.
Dude. I think he ran through like 12 different quarterbacks. Somebody still David, David Stills.
What was that? DeAndre Hopkins.
What was the boy? What was the boy who they drafted in that when they first started the team? That boy from Fresno State. David Carr.
He was actually like, okay. He had really bad O lines.
He had bad O lines.
I honestly think he was a guy that I think under the right circumstances could have had a solid career. Not like great Hall of Fame, nothing like that. But I think he would have been a guy that you would have spoke of more highly if he wasn't behind those lines.
His brother who's at Oakland, they played the exact same. They the same. It's just that the brother had a better old line.
Brother at Oakland way better.
Think so? I don't know, man. Situations really
determine
your success. So
I mean, because remember that year, Aaron Rodgers got picked up by Green Bay and it took some time to play. They had to force Carr in immediately. With a horrible line, there was an expansion team that year too.
So it was real bad.
They was cutting old linemen to go play with Texas. They're like, man, sorry, go play with Texas. And he got, oh man, I got a whole bunch of like walk-ons in front of me.
Yeah. And a little known fact is he was number two in rushing behind Mike Vick. And that's with all the sacks he was getting.
Yeah.
You know, so the guy was getting fumbled, and he still was able to, you know, scramble out and get out of a lot of those situations. But we just wanted to shed a little light on that. Shame on y'all, NFL Hall of Fame, for snubbing the guys. I'm sure they're all going to get in due time. But I definitely
We got Will Fort and them boys coming up soon, too.
Yeah, Vince got to get into, and he going to get snubbed his first round as well because he doesn't have the stats. But when you watch football, you know how important Vince Wilfork was. But this is another episode of 26 Degrees, man. We definitely appreciate y'all tuning in, kicking it with us. We'll be back next week as usual. Thank you for rocking with us. Continue to tell a friend to tell a friend. Keep getting better. Pull up for the spring game. I'm going to be there. X going to be there. We're trying to get Measy there.
I'm going to be there, man.
Vibe with us, man.
I might have to put some strippers out to bring Measy out of there.
I'll walk down there if I have to.
Don't do that. I get your Greyhound ticket first.
No. I'm going to fly down.
No doubt. Hey, man, thank y'all, man. We appreciate y'all for real.
Peace.
We out. We gonna let the band deal with this.
26 degrees.